the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 11 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Coming up this morning in just a little bit, we're going to be giving away some tickets to go see the River Dogs play this Thursday night. You don't want to miss out on that. Also, at 8:10 this morning, we're going to be talking with Trooper Bob about Operation Southern Shield, and we're going to ask him if he's going to be participating in this softball game that's coming up. That'll be interesting to see. So anyway, we'll talk to Trooper Bob this morning again, and we'll be giving away tickets to go see the River Dogs. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Glad to have you along with us. Last night, we found out that pretty much the Republican health care bill is dead. Several Republicans jumping ship with the Trump administration to try to get some type of a repeal and replacement bill in order. It looks like now we're just going to have to go to repeal, get rid of it. And we'll see how if these folks are on board with Trump and the Trump administration and what's going on with the Republican Party, because it's just seeming a little ridiculous right now that we've got so many people that are fighting against the president and his administration. And where's all the support? Don't these people understand that what the American people voted for in November was the repeal of Obamacare? They wanted to get rid of it. So is this a good thing or do you think it's a bad thing? Several of these folks were saying that, you know, we just want to get rid of the Obamacare. The federal government should be out of the healthcare business. And I agree with that. All right. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Keith is in Hanahan. Keith, how are you?
Good morning there, Charlie.
Yes, sir.
You know, I like our highway patrol, but, you know, they are almost fighting a losing battle around here. You know, I know they got this Operation Southern Shield and weekly things, but, you know, that's 7 days. What about the other 358 days of the year, you know, that goes on out there? I mean, aren't we paying enough taxes to have enough enforcement out there to maybe that they could be doing something about this driving, you know?
Well, Keith, isn't that exactly what they're trying to do?
Yeah, for a week.
Okay, no. They're just highlighting it for a week. They're letting people know exactly what's going on with the... I don't have a problem with that. I mean, do you have a problem with them taking a couple of weeks out of the year and highlighting traffic enforcement?
I don't at all. But, you know, like I said, there's a lot more than just a week in the year. I know they're out there, but, you know, there's a lot to cover. But, you know, I know they're short-staffed and maybe underfunded, but, you know, they got to do something because, you know, do I ever spot a highway patrol car? I don't know.
Well, I tell you what, travel on the interstate. You see them all the time.
Well, like I said, I'd like to see more like in the local areas too. So.
Okay. All right, Keith. I appreciate it. There's no good deed goes unpunished, I guess. Elise is out on John's Island. Elise, how are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
Wonderful. What's on your mind today?
You know, I'm just really fed up with the House and Senate. I mean, come on. You had 7 years to get your crap together, and you still haven't gotten it together?
Right.
So just yank that thing out, give it, you know, phase it out for 2 years, have something, get it together, put something down on paper, and do it.
Can we really trust them to do that?
No, we can't.
No, I agree with you.
They have no common sense. They are not what we need. They're not doing anything for us.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who they're doing it for then, if not for us. I mean,
they're doing it for the insurance companies.
Yeah, I mean, that does seem to be true.
Blue Cross Blue Shield is shysters. Mm-hmm. If they open it up to a free market, that would blow them sky high. They wouldn't know what to do.
Well, that's what it would have to be. If we were to get an actual repeal of Obamacare, it would have to go back to the free market. Don't you think?
I would love it. It's about time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. It's just reality, people. A free market. Look at Venezuela right now.
Yeah.
Come on. You want to get into it? People are so naive to think that free market is not the way to go. if they want socialism, go on down to Venezuela. Check that out for a little
bit. I agree. There are plenty of countries on this planet that actually subscribe to the form of government that a lot of these people want to have. And I don't understand why they just don't go live there. Why? Because our beaches are so great? Because our mountains are so wonderful? I don't get it.
Let me tell you something also. These people who want this socialist health care,
mm-hmm.
go on talk to those people up in Canada.
Yeah.
I know a lady who had to wait 3 years for a hysterectomy. 3 years.
That's a long time for a hysterectomy.
I got mine within 2 weeks of being diagnosed. I mean, come on.
I agree. I agree with you. It's frustrating, Elise. It's absolutely frustrating when you're seeing all of these people jumping ship. They need to get their act together. Elise, I appreciate you calling in. You know, and we criticize the Democrats for not having any solid platform or any solid plan. I'm not seeing the same from the Republicans. I'm not seeing any good leadership from the Republicans. I'm not seeing, you know, Mitch McConnell. I'm not seeing Paul Ryan. I'm not seeing all of these people leading the party in the way it ought to go. It just seems like we got a bunch of free agents out there that are running around doing their own thing. They've got to start being united, or you know what? It's going to be a butt kicking coming 2018 and certainly 2020. And we're going to be, listen, the Democrats are going to run the most. Whoever they put up to run against Trump in 2020, you will be wishing that we had Hillary Clinton. You will be wishing that we had her in the White House instead of who they're going to spell, especially if it's somebody like Kamala Harris or, you know, some of the other people that they're looking at running. It's going to be scary. And the Republicans need to realize that and stop being the party of complainers and start being the party that will govern this nation.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
23 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's go to Somerville and talk to Wayne this morning. Wayne, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, Charlie.
Yes, sir.
You know, I travel through the Southeast, Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas.
Right.
You know, talk radio is real popular because it's an interactive form of communication
mm-hmm.
where people get to express their ideas, whether you like them or not.
Right.
I think it's time for some oldie goldies. I'd like to see TMA pull up political statements from congressmen and Republican chair people over the last 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And play them every morning for a week and remind our listeners, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, or whoever, what these people said in January and February and what they're actually doing in July.
Right. It always seems to be so different. I mean, the way what they campaign on and what they actually do once they get to Washington and even up in Columbia always seems to be, you know, diametrically opposed to each other. So it's amazing that we can't get Republicans out there on board. I don't know what they're expecting. Are they expecting to come back and have some big win in 2018 when they can't get their act together as a party?
You know, Charlie, I've been trying to teach my grandchildren a simple task.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first voted for Mark Sanford the first time, I didn't vote for him in 2008, I try to express to my grandchildren, I can only give you 99 cents. I can't give you a dollar because we got to take a penny out of our budget. We can't
right.
do the simple things like that. Reduce costs by a penny. And you know, in 10 years, that'd be 10%.
Yeah.
And I thought that's what a conservative was all about. I'm in Miami. The weather's beautiful. I enjoy your show. And keep hammering at it.
Well, I appreciate it, Wayne. Thank you, buddy. You have a great day and enjoy that sunshine down in Miami.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It's 19 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. And I tell you what I got right now. I got a pair of tickets to go to See, the River Dogs coming up Thursday night out at the Joe. You don't want to miss out on that. It is going to be a fantastic night out there at the Joe. I'll take caller number 7 right now at 556-1250. That's 556-1250. You'll pick yourself up. It's a pair of tickets, right, John? 2 tickets to go see the River Dogs play at the Joe. Caller number 7 right now, 556-1250 is the number to win these tickets to go see the River Dogs play. Like I said, always a great time out of the Joe. It really, really is. So let's go to the phones right now, and we will say, hey, good morning. Who is this?
This is Mike.
Mike, how are you, buddy?
I'm great, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Congratulations, Mike. You just picked yourself up a pair of tickets to go see the River Dogs on Thursday.
Great. Thank you, Charlie.
All right, man. You enjoy those. We appreciate you calling in. Going to put you on hold, and John Quincy is going to get your information from you. Also want to remind you, what is that? We got a tropical depression out there. Tropical Storm Dawn is in the Atlantic, and it's not expected to do anything. This thing is not really even going to come close to North America, but I want to get, it's a good time to point out that it is hurricane season, and we want to make sure that you are absolutely ready. You can download the WTMA Hurricane Preparedness Guide at WTMA.com. It's free, and it's full of life-saving information brought to you in part by Property Casualty Insurers Association of America, Jeff Cook Real Estate, and East Bay Deli. So get your hurricane guide right now at WTMA.com. Had a call a few minutes ago, kind of irritated me a little bit because it was about, now coming up at 8:10, we're going to be talking with Trooper Bob about Operation Southern Shield, and that has been going on. It started on, what, yesterday, I believe? It started, yeah, yesterday, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and Tennessee. Now, they're looking at reducing the number of drivers who are speeding, impaired, distracted, and not wearing seatbelts. This according to the folks that are doing the program. Here in South Carolina, you can expect to see additional troopers on both interstate highways and back roads through Sunday. Now, it's being paid for by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Statistics from the agency show that wrecks killed about 35,000 people in the United States in 2015. That was up 7% from 2014, and those are the latest figures that we have. But to say, you know, and I understand the argument, well, where are they the other 51 weeks out of the year? Well, that's fine, but whenever law enforcement tries to do something like this, I think we as a citizenry need to really get behind them and stop criticizing them so much. This kind of sounds, you know, it's like, where are they? You know, where were they yesterday at 8:45 when I was out on so-and-so? And where were they here? They're out there. They're out there. And these troopers are working their absolute tails off here in the Lowcountry. Well, all in South Carolina with our highway patrols. There's about estimates between 835, I don't have the exact number of how many troopers, but between 835 and 900 troopers that we have that are patrolling the entire state. So they're doing the best job that they can. And I don't think criticism is something that we need to be pointing the finger at these troopers for them doing their jobs. If they have a week, if they want to take a week and highlight the dangers of impaired driving, driving without your seatbelt, speeding, aggressive driving, then doggone it, we ought to get behind them and say, you know what? Hey, you know what? I'm with you. Trooper Bob, I'm with you. Trooper Matt, I'm with you. We're behind you, whatever you do. This constant bitching and complaining about our law enforcement is getting nauseating. Can they be everywhere all the time? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But there's some folks out there are starting to sound like the National Action Network and Elder James Johnson when they say, well, where were they? You're here to prevent crime. Well, they're doing the best they can. And we as a community need to get behind them 150%. And if they want to have a week, and if they think this, I mean, what? So they just got around, so they were just sitting around over coffee, maybe at a donut, because that's where people think they always hang out. Hey, I got an idea. Let's have a week where we do something, where we actually work. No, that is not what they do. It's to highlight the fact that 35,000 people were killed in traffic accidents in 2015. And maybe we don't have the data for 2016 yet, But when these people do something like that, we need to get behind them lock, stock, and barrel. Absolutely. And if you see somebody doing something on the road, when was the last time you picked up the phone and dialed or always using your hands free and not being distracted? But when's the last time you reported a driver for maybe drunk driving or reckless driving or what have you? Are you involved in it? Are you involved in that? That's our responsibility. That's where we have to help law enforcement. And to criticize them, I cannot stand when people do that, especially when they're trying to do the best job they possibly can. That irritates me. And I am never going to be on your side if all you're going to do is sit back and criticize law enforcement, because you don't know what it's like to put on that shield every single day and go out there and face these people. You don't know. Chris is in Somerville. Chris, how are you?
How are you doing this morning?
Good. What's up?
Well, listen, I know that they always have these little get-togethers, coffee with cops,
right?
Type thing where you. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Me and my wife went to our little favorite bar and grill Sunday, did a couple of hamburgers and some beers, and sat down next to two North Charleston cops with their wives, drinking beer, just talking about their jobs, talking about politics. They were two of the coolest SOBs I've ever met in my life.
Right.
I mean, straight up and down, kind of guy that you want to hang out with. So I suggest have a beer with the cop. Because it was just, they were just the coolest guys.
Yeah, the kind of people you would want living in your neighborhood.
That's right. My cousin was killed last year in Georgia, and he was a police officer. He was shot in the head while he was assisting his partner.
Yeah, sorry to hear that.
Who had also been shot. And so all this negative stuff, listen, what happened to that woman in Minnesota, that was murder. And I'm just flat out saying that was murder.
I know.
That woman did not deserve to die. But the rest, you can't paint them all with the same brush.
That's right. That's right. Chris, I appreciate you calling in. I got to hit a break right here.
And now here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. Charlie?
Good morning. It's about 4 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. Let's go to Stephanie in Latson. How are you, Stephanie?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. What's up?
I have a comment about the police doing their jobs.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't want to help them, fine, but don't impede them doing their jobs. Don't block them by getting on social media and telling people where their checkpoints are going to be.
You know, now that's an interesting story, because I think a lot of times, because some of these checkpoints that they are, you know, like we see New Year's Eve and on July 4th and things like that, the police department actually released that information.
Well, there are a lot of checkpoints that they don't, but if somebody drives by and they see them, you know. So if you're getting on social media and you're telling them where these checkpoints are, where the drunk people are driving, and the drunk doesn't go that way and hits a family head on, you're the one that's responsible because you let them know where the police were at.
Well, it's an interesting situation, Stephanie. I appreciate you calling in. I don't know. I mean, a lot of times the police department themselves actually release that information, and hopefully people will slow down in those areas. Let's go to Joel out on Daniel Island. How are you, Joel?
Hey, I'm fine. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, sir. What's up?
Hey, look, this is what smokes my ribs right here. These action groups, they congregate in all the wrong places. When's the last time that you saw any of these people congregate in these communities in North Charleston? Where this stuff starts from, at some point in time, these people are here killing each other and stuff. They're toddlers. They're not thugs. Somewhere between the time they're in diapers till they get 14 or 15, something's going wrong. If you're a single mom and you can't control your kids, don't have them. You know, they say when they come from a bad, background, bad home.
Right.
You know, you created that. Until these action groups start targeting the right places, like their own communities, and start holding.
But you know what? You know what, Joel? Whenever you see them, when police, you see an increased presence in certain communities, then you start hearing the terms over policing. You're over policing our community. There's too much of a police presence. It's almost like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. If you're a police officer out there,
under parenting, that's what's creating over policing. It's a cause and effect. They're not going to ever take responsibility. It don't look like it. Until they do, it's not going to change. You're going to keep killing, and they're going to keep blaming and congregating down at City Hall. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm just frustrated with it.
Oh, I understand. I am completely there with you on the frustration level. I appreciate you calling in, Joel. There was a woman. There was some talk. Mayor Summey, remember Mayor Summey? He came out with that video a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about, you know, crime in North Charleston and what they can do about it. There was this woman that was complaining about the fact that there wasn't enough for her kids to do. And this was, and what amazed me, this woman had seven children, and was complaining that there wasn't enough for her kids to do because she, you know, she was low income. My first thought was, if you're low income, why are you having seven kids?
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It is 8:11, 11 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Well, Operation Southern Shield is underway. On the phones with us now, he's the Emperor of Enforcement, the Sultan of Safety, the Pontiff of Protection, and the Master of Emoji. Please welcome Trooper Bob. Good morning, Troop. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Glad to have you on, buddy. Now, tell us a little bit about Operation Southern Shield.
This was put together by NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and incorporates a couple states, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, and Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they wanted a multi-state jurisdictional high-visibility traffic enforcement and education component to this. So it's we want to reduce crashes, injuries, and then fatalities across the southern states, including South Carolina.
Right. Now, I think we heard, what was it, in 2015, we had 35,000 deaths nationwide because of highway accidents?
We saw a spike in fatalities mm-hmm. in our region, which is the southern region. It was about 900 more deaths than previously. So
right.
we're doing better this year than compared to last year, but obviously one fatality is too many.
Right.
You know, a fatality in Georgia and Tennessee is in Florida is no different than a fatality in South Carolina. You know, families are grieving and law enforcement grieves with them, so that's why they put this together.
Absolutely. What are you guys going to be really looking for? What is your concentration going to be? Now, this is running through Sunday, right? What is your concentration going to be?
This will actually run through Friday.
Okay, through Friday.
Run through Friday. And the top three, not necessarily in this order, are what's causing fatalities in South Carolina. That's people not wearing seatbelts, speeding, mm-hmm. and DUI.
Seatbelts, speeding, and DUI. We see so many people, like every day our traffic, we're talking about wrecks out there. What is the number one cause of traffic accidents out there? Is it improper lane change? Is it driving too fast? Is it driving impaired?
It's a couple different things, but the ones that I was telling you right now, those are the top three
mm-hmm.
are causing fatalities in South Carolina, which is people not wearing a seatbelt. And that's after the collision. So you get in a collision, you run off the road, but you get ejected out of the vehicle because you're not buckled up.
Right.
So the initial impact didn't kill you, but you know buckling up did.
Right.
Speeding and DUI.
One of the guys over there in Georgia, Harris Blackwood, of the governor's office of highway safety in Georgia, said, they're not trying to write tickets. You guys don't want to write tickets out there, do you? I mean, you want to make sure that people are slowing down and obeying the traffic laws, right? Your goal isn't to get out there and start writing out tickets left and right, right?
This is not a ticket writing campaign. This mm-hmm. is a life-saving campaign. If you're doing the speed limit, you won't get a ticket. But the problem we have is people are out there speeding. So if you're speeding, you're catching up the traffic in front of you. Now people won't get out of your way. Now you become an aggressive driver rather than a defensive driver.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what causes the issues.
All right. So this is going to be going on through Friday. It's Operation Southern Shield. Have you guys had any information, any data about how things like this affect traffic? Is it an effective tool with law enforcement to reduce the fatalities?
Sure. Visibility is number mm-hmm. one. You see a policeman, you're going to slow down, obviously.
Right.
So you can expect, what the public can expect to see is troopers on the interstate. Right now, we're focusing on I-26. So you can expect to see troopers between Charleston and Greenville on Interstate 26 today. And then tomorrow we're going to shift it to I-20 and then I-85 and then I-95 on Friday. So okay. I-95, you'll see troopers from south of the border in South Carolina all the way to South Beach in Miami.
Okay, so we're going to have a lot of folks on the road out there. Now, let me ask you this. Are you going to be participating in the Highway Patrol versus the Georgia State Patrol softball game on Sunday?
I'm not going to be playing. I'm going to be playing coordinator. I'm actually
okay.
putting all this together. So we're excited about it. It's a great event. We encourage everyone to come out. It benefits Special Olympics. People can pick up their tickets at Jones Ford there on 5757 Rivers Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
It's $7 a ticket, and that ticket is good for our game and the River Dogs game afterwards.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah, it's a great event, and if folks have never gotten involved with Special Olympics, I highly recommend it. Even if you go out to the games that they have, the Special Olympics games, and just volunteer as a hugger, it's going to be a day you'll never forget.
Absolutely. You know, these athletes, when they get those medals and pins from competing in the winter and summer games, and they have that smile on their face, mm-hmm. that they accomplished something, and it warms our hearts because we know that the money we raise helps to send those athletes to games. So, you know, we have over 25,000 to almost 26,000 Special Olympics athletes in South Carolina.
Wow.
So that's why we're continuously raising money for them and supporting this great cause.
Well, Trooper Bob, we appreciate everything you do, buddy. You be safe out there, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Trooper Bob with us this morning on the Big Talker.
1250 WTMA. Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 25 minutes past 8 o'clock on The Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. WTMA.com. Glad to have you along with us on this Thursday morning. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. I tell you what I want you to do today. I want you to go into your boss. John, get ready, because as soon as the show is over today, we're going to march into the boss's office and say, "Boss, we just voted ourselves a $14,000 a year raise." I think that's going to be fantastic.
And she's going to laugh and laugh and laugh.
Oh, wow. I certainly hope not, because apparently that's the way you can do things around here, because the Charleston County School Board voted 4-2 last night to give itself a $14,428 raise. I wonder how they came up with $14,428 raise. Let's make it $14,430. No, now you're being silly. $14,000, $428 raise effective immediately. Like, whenever their next paycheck comes in, it's going to have that additional.
That's not right. Usually when there's a raise, it goes in public service.
Yeah.
It's when the next person gets elected. You know, if
right,
you're reelected,
yeah.
you get the raise.
Right.
Or the new people get the raise.
Not anymore. It's going to be effective immediately. That's I wonder how many teachers out there. Teachers, let me know. Would you be able to use an extra $1,202 a month? Would you be able to do that? I think you'd see a lot of teachers out there that go, "Oh, my gosh, what I could do with an extra $1,202 a month. That would be life-changing." Now, combined with the new $7,214 salaries for each of the district's 50 constituent board members, the price tag for the pay increase comes out to nearly $500,000. Board members Kevin Hollinshed, the Reverend Chris Collins, Michael Miller, and the Reverend Eric Mack voted in favor of the pay increases. Kate Darby, Chris Staubs voted against it. Cindy Bon Coates abstained. Todd Garrett and Priscilla Jeffrey were absent from the meeting. They didn't specify. Of course not. They didn't specify where the money is going to come from. Well, but does it matter? Does it really matter?
It's not like they're having trouble finding people to serve on the school board.
Yeah, I know. That's right.
If nobody was signing up, was it every 2 years or every four
right,
years?
Right, right.
I could see saying, "Well, we just need money to have more good candidates here."
Yeah, but if it's, they're lined up to run for a school board. They're
now, what's
going
to stop them from raising it to $28,000?
Nothing, apparently.
In a few months.
Nothing. They didn't specify, like I said, where the money's going to come from out of the $480.6 million general operating budget, which has already been created for the 2017-2018 school year. So the budget is set. The budget is set. And they just voted themselves half a million dollar more in salary increases. And that is enough. That is the same as 13 first-year teacher salaries. The same as 13 first-year teacher salaries. So my question is, what do we need more? Do we need school board members with higher salaries? Or could the district use 13 more first-year teachers? I think you know the answer to that question.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It is 8:40. 20 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday morning. Well, you might notice a little something different about the voice of Kermit the Frog coming up. The guy, this fellow, Steve Lawrence, Steve Lawrence Whitmire, he became the famous celebrity, a famous celebrity after he took over as the voice of the Muppets. I think after Jim Henson died, he was the guy that took over as the voice of the Muppets. Well, he's been fired from Disney for inappropriate business practices. I don't know the heck he could be doing or unacceptable business conduct. That's what they say. Now, this explanation of his firing came from Disney following a emotional blog post last week after his firing was made public. He said he learned last October that the role of Kermit would be recast. Whitmire had been with the Muppets since 1978. Like I said, after Jim Henson died in 1990, he took over then. The Muppet Studio didn't detail the nature of Whitmire's repeated unacceptable business conduct, but they said it spanned a period of many years, adding that he consistently failed to address his employer's feedback. So they say there were two reasons that he got fired, but they won't say what the reasons are. So we have no idea why this guy was fired, but I don't understand what kind of business conduct you could be doing. You go up there, you stick your hand up this Muppet's butt, and you move his mouth, and you make a funny voice.
Kermit the Frog here.
Hell, I could do it. You can pay me $900,000 a year. I'll do that. They say his net worth is about $900,000, so I don't know. I don't know what they're going to be doing with Disney, but I know they're making a boatload of money, and they're making a boatload of money off public broadcasting. And again, that's an organization that just, I mean, they toss around money, and it doesn't mean anything to them. It really doesn't. I mean, you get a show like, what is it, Morning Edition, that is on for 2 hours a day, and they have a staff of 25 people working on that show. It's amazing how much money they spend, and it costs a lot of money for these public broadcasting stations to carry that. I still don't know how much, though. Wouldn't you think that if you are a public broadcasting station, that you should have to have some type of financial disclosure? And I've looked for it online. About the only one I can find is one of the big ones up there in New York. To find out how much some of these shows cost. I mean, if you are donating to public broadcasting, shouldn't you know how much they're paying for the shows that they are carrying? You know, when they get on and it seems like the only time they run the really good shows is when they're asking for money. Then it seems like that to me. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Coming up, I want to talk about this shooting of this woman up in Minnesota, this Australian lady who was shot by a police officer up in Minnesota. This is such a strange, strange story. But we're going to go over what we know so far, who the police officer was, and the circumstances around her shooting. They say that they are now treating this as a homicide. We'll give you details on that coming up in just a few minutes.
1250 WTMA. Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 10 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Glad to have you along with us. Let's go to Billy on James Island. How are you, Billy?
I'm doing good. Just a really quick question, and maybe y'all know about this.
Yeah.
You know, there's a federal law that says that all the local TV stations have to provide over-the-air digital content, 2, 4, 5, 24, you know, 36, all that stuff together. So you can pick them up with an antenna. And I believe before they had their antenna problems or were down for a couple of months, ITV did the same thing. And, of course, now that you know, the public television is the 800-pound gorilla in the room.
Right.
They don't provide it, and I'm trying to figure out how they get away with it.
You mean like NPR doesn't provide digital content online?
Well, no. They're supposed to do it over the air so you can
right.
come up on the antenna.
They don't. Everybody I thought else. Everybody had to do that.
That's what I was thinking too. But ever since they had a little antenna problem when it came back up, you know, they don't have any digital output for what
so I'm you thinking. Can't. So I don't even know how you pick up a television program over the air without a digital converter. You
well,
don't. You can't.
All the TVs now are automatic. I mean,
right.
If you buy, you know, everybody's crazy about smart TVs.
Yeah.
You can buy any flat screen. You know, that's I call them. You know, I got a stupid TV.
Yeah.
And all you do is, you know, when you do your setup, instead of setting up for cable, you just, you know, click on antenna. In 2.5 minutes, you're watching TV.
Right.
You know, over $12 pair of rabbit ears.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, PBS is not available.
That?
So you're talking about Channel 7 locally Channel in Charleston. 7.
Right, and like I said,
you can't pick them up over the air, or you can pick them up over the air, but they don't have their digital extra channels like 7.1
right,
and 7.2.
Yeah.
Right.
Huh. I don't know.
And it's specific. The law is specific to digital. I mean, it tells you that you have to provide, digital.
Yeah, they do. That was that's weird. I don't know, Billy. We'll check into that and see what's going on with those guys.
Yeah, we have cable TV, so we don't get that. So.
Yeah. But we'll look into it. Billy, I appreciate you calling in. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. I don't know. I don't know why they would be exempt from anything like that. I don't know if they are, but we'll definitely look into it and see what's going on.
Chris Plant
with
was talking about Washington, D.C., that they were doing it in Washington just a couple of weeks ago. He was talking about the total number of NPR-type stations and public broadcast TV stations.
Right.
And he says not only is it the main channel, but they also have two or three or four extra channels they have to program and pay for.
Yeah. I don't know.
I would assume that maybe SCE TV, which is, you know, our outlet for PBS, would be, I don't know if they're having problems or not.
I don't know.
Maybe somebody that watches TV over the air can check it out and let us know.
It's amazing that I don't know. I don't watch anything over the air. Hell, I barely watch anything on cable. Really, seriously, I watch Tucker at night, and then everything else seems like Sheila and I stream over the internet. We have the computer actually hooked into the television, and that's where I do everything's right there on the television. I use the TV monitor as my computer monitor. I'll sit there. I've got the wireless keyboard. I've got the wireless mouse. I've got the recliner. Booyah. Great setup for me. 556-1250 is the number. Let's go to North Charleston and talk to Carrie. Carrie, how are you?
Oh, doing fine. Sorry, I'm just turning my TV on, trying to find out if I get 7.1, 2, and 3 are there.
So they are there?
Yeah, I get them on my... I only have rabbit ears, don't have cable.
Okay.
And just wanted to let whoever it was, they might have had their setup screwed up by whatever storm that knocked them off the air.
Maybe so. Carrie, we appreciate it. What are you watching right now on, let's say, 7.1? What's on 7.1 right now?
7.1 has Curious George.
All right.
7.2 has Lucky Chow, which is apparently a Chinese food show.
Okay.
And 7.3 has The Eagles of Decora.
There you go.
6 months time lapse. I don't know what that is.
I have no idea what that is. All right. Carrie, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for answering that question for us. Thank you very much. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. What is it? Something chow. All right. Coming up, let's go ahead and do this now because this is just.
Did you say cat chow?
Something like that. Something like that. Up in Minneapolis, this is a horrible story. An Australian woman called 911 to report that she believed that there was an active sexual assault happening near her house. She was shot and killed by a Minneapolis police officer, and a lot of people are looking for answers on this. Really don't have a whole lot of details about what led to the shooting of Justine Damon, a meditation teacher. She was a bride-to-be. She was killed late Saturday by an officer who reportedly fired his weapon from the passenger seat of a squad car. Now, there are no known witnesses other than the two officers in the squad car. This is according to a newspaper report up there in Minneapolis. Damon was shot while standing alongside the car in her pajamas. The county medical examiner's office on Monday night said that the woman died of a gunshot wound to the abdomen. She was identified in the report by her maiden name, Justine Rusick. The newspaper said that she was engaged to be married in August and was using her fiancé's last name. This death has been ruled a homicide. Her fiancé, Don Damon, said that the family's been given almost no additional information. Her family is in Sydney, Australia. They issued a statement on Monday saying that they were trying to come to terms with the tragedy. And from what we are hearing, the officer, you have to go down to the 12th paragraph of this story, and I counted them, 12th paragraph, to find out the name of the officer. And the officer's name is Muhammad Noor. He's a Somali-American, and he joined the police department back in 2015. His lawyer released a statement saying that Noor offered his condolences to the family and keeps them in his daily thoughts and prayers. Noor was sued back earlier this year on May 25th of an incident, and this is a guy that's been on the force since 2015, and he's already had three complaints on file against him. We really don't know a whole lot about it. Some of the neighbors, one neighbor, Joan Hargrave, called the killing an execution, said this is a tragedy that someone who is asking for help would call the police and get shot by the police. It's not clear. And another thing that they are concerned about is why weren't the officers' body cameras on? The police department phased in body cameras for all of its officers over the last year. Department policy allows for a range of situations in which officers are supposed to turn the cameras on, including any contact involving criminal activity and before the use of force. If a body camera is not running before the use of force, it's supposed to be turned on as soon as it is safe to do so. Still don't know if that was the case. Heard one report that the officer was sitting in the passenger seat of the police of the squad car, had reached over his partner and fired his weapon. That's one report, but that's unsubstantiated right now. But a lot of questions are remaining about the shooting and the ultimate death of this woman up in Minneapolis. It's just a strange, strange story because, you know, here she is in her pajamas. She calls the cops. She shows up and she gets shot. Why? I would like to know a little bit more from this police officer other than he offers his condolences to the family. And I certainly hope I know there's going to be a full investigation into this thing because it's just one of those. First of all, why do you shoot through a car door? And I believe I saw something this morning and I don't know if it was an actual photo from inside the squad car that showed the bullet hole in the driver's side of the car door. So we want to know a little bit more information about this and exactly what happened with this shooting up there in Minneapolis. It was just absolutely a horrible, horrible situation.